VCY America presents Crosstalk, a nationwide call-in program discussing issues that have an effect on our families, our communities, our churches, our nation, and our world. Crosstalk, an opportunity for you to voice your concerns for biblical principles. And now live by satellite and around the world on the internet at vcyamerica.org. Here is today's Crosstalk.
We do thank you for joining us on Crosstalk today. I need to apologize in advance because we have some very heavy issues to talk about today here in the program. Much happening. And friends, we are seeing us, it is like birth pangs happening as we see the last days unfold before us here upon this land. Around this world. Certainly, the issues that are going on in the Middle East. We see the anger that has been building here between the political parties. We are seeing the just unleashing of immorality all across this nation. So we've got a lot of issues to talk about today. But friends, keep in mind that the darker the night, the brighter the light shines. And it's so critically important that believers in Jesus Christ not grow weary in well-doing, but continue to be salt, continue to be light in this world around us. Our thanks to Sandy for collecting so many stories and prepping them for the program today. We've got Molly on the phones here today, and so grateful for our control room and Dennis keeping us things going there. And thanks to you as well, listeners, and to the many stations. I hope you contact the station that provides you Crosstalk, thanking them and supporting them for airing this program. Well, friends, we're going to start off today with the tragic news coming now from USA Today about the Helene, the hurricane now weakened to a tropical storm barreling through the southeast today. Enough power to inflict historic flooding across multiple states. Millions of dollars certainly taken here a hit. Power outages, widespread damage to homes and businesses. And we know that many boats have been overturned, homes have been flattened, floodwaters several feet deep were revealed at dawn. We know in Steinhatchee, this would be a coastal town just miles from where Helene made landfall. Town, some 500 people, took on 9.63 feet of storm surge, which was a record. At least 22 storm-related deaths were reported this morning. We understand that has now escalated. Some media reporting now 40 deaths have taken place. We're talking about Florida, Georgia, South Carolina, North Carolina, more than 4.4 million utility customers without power. Helene's tied as the 14th most powerful hurricane to hit the U.S. since records have been kept, and 7th most powerful to slam into Florida. That's according to the National Hurricane Center, but number 14. So keep in mind there have been worse before. And I tied that in with this issue as well from the Daily Wire. And friends, be praying. Many, many people are being impacted by this right now. The Daily Wire is reporting some of the country's biggest liberal foundations are behind a plan to inject climate hysteria into newsrooms across the country by encouraging journalists in all fields to employ left-wing tactics and talking points when reporting on climate change, including the Chan Zuckerberg Initiative, the Ford Foundation, the Bill and Melinda Gates Foundation, and the Hewlett Foundation. Their influence can be seen in the Climate Blueprint. That's a 14-part guide for how journalists should cover climate change. The Climate Blueprint, that is, opens with a section called the Everything Story, encouraging journalists to take bold action and to make stories on every beat, including crime and sports, about climate change. So, friends, the big monies and influence are being put into your local newscasters on this very matter. Other things unfolding today. After nearly a year since the outbreak of the war and the height of the conflict with Hezbollah, Prime Minister Benjamin Netanyahu spoke today at the UN General Assembly, looking at a story here from Israel National News. In his speech, he addressed the continuation of the fighting in Lebanon and the Iranian threat. This is how the Prime Minister of Israel opened his address before the United Nations just earlier today.
Mr. President, ladies and gentlemen, I didn't intend to come here this year. My country is at war, fighting for its life. But after I heard the lies and slanders leveled at my country by many of the speakers at this podium, I decided to come here and set the record straight. I decided to come here to speak for my people, to speak for my country, to speak for the truth. And here's the truth. Israel seeks peace. Israel yearns for peace. Israel has made peace and will make peace again. Yet we face savage enemies who seek our annihilation, and we must defend ourselves against these savage murderers. Our enemies seek not only to destroy us, they seek to destroy our common civilization and return all of us to a dark age of tyranny and terror.
Now, this was the very opening to his speech. He spoke about approximately a half hour this morning. We don't have time to play the entire speech. I'm going to have one more clip here in just a moment. But you hear the clapping that's primarily coming from like a visitor's gallery in the upper level at United Nations. It was interesting to see absent many of the Middle East countries that they were there. Their desks were vacant. They were boycotting the speech that was given by the prime minister. But let me just share one other clip of what he had to say this very morning.
I have a message for the tyrants of Tehran. If you strike us, we will strike you. There is no place. There is no place in Iran that the long arm of Israel cannot reach. And that's true of the entire Middle East. Far from being lambs led to the slaughter, Israel's soldiers have fought back with incredible courage and with heroic sacrifice. And I have another message for this assembly and for the world outside this hall. We are winning!
Those words spoken just hours ago by the Prime Minister of Israel, Benjamin Netanyahu. He was not going to come to the UN, but he heard so much misinformation and lies given at the UN. He came to make his address. Just the News is reporting that the Israeli Defense Forces said the Israeli military struck the central headquarters of Hezbollah in Beirut, Lebanon today. The target of the strike reportedly was Hezbollah leader Hassan Nasrallah. Unclear if Nasrallah was killed in the strike or not. There's some thought that he may have been taken out by the strike, might have been eliminated by it. Confirmation one way or another is yet pending. From CBN News, Monday, Israel launched Operation Northern Arrows, designed to allow tens of thousands of evacuated Israelis in northern Israel to return home. Part of that operation includes the most extensive bombing campaign since the Second Lebanon War in 2006, caused an exodus from southern Lebanon. Israeli warplanes carried out more than 1,600 strikes to destroy Hezbollah rocket launchers, drones, and UAVs in southern Lebanon. And it's certainly a very powerful response Israel has given to Hezbollah. Also from PJ Media, Ibrahim Mohammed Kubasi, commander of Hezbollah's missiles and rockets force, along with the Hezbollah commanders, were killed in a Beirut airstrike on Tuesday. The strike was one of 500 sorties that Israeli airplanes flew to weaken Hezbollah's command and control structure. Also coming to us here from Israfan.com. This is Israeli Prime Minister Benjamin Netanyahu firmly denied reports yesterday suggesting that Israel was close to agreeing to a ceasefire with Hezbollah in Lebanon. As he traveled to New York to address the UN, his office released a statement dismissing the claims as false. He said the news about a ceasefire is incorrect. This is an American-French proposal that the prime minister has not even responded to, read the official statement. It emphasized that Netanyahu had not instructed the Israel Defense Forces to ease military operations in the north. Instead, the prime minister has directed the IDF to continue fighting with full force and according to strategic plans presented to him. Israel National News reporting that the U.S. conveyed a message to Israel in recent days, warning it not to attack the infrastructure of the state of Lebanon itself in its conflict with the Hezbollah terrorist organization. Jerusalem responded that it is not necessary to expand the list of targets beyond those directly associated with those belonging to Hezbollah. Israel National News telling us that according to a Hezbollah official who told Reuters that the pager and radio explosions last week put 1,500 fighters out of commission because of their injuries. Many of those either blinded or had their hands blown off in the explosion. A report for the U.S. Congress estimated that Hezbollah numbers 40,000 to 50,000 terrorists. However, the Hezbollah leader, Nasrallah, has claimed that its numbers stand at 100,000 terrorists. From the Western Journal, and Israel unleashed another round of devastating attacks against Hezbollah targets in Lebanon. The administration of Biden-Harris announced more U.S. troops are being sent to the Middle East. According to The Hill, Ryder indicated that the troops being sent were ground troops. The U.S. has about 40,000 troops in the region, according to the Associated Press. National Review reporting that the House Foreign Affairs Committee narrowly voted 26-25 to recommend Antony Blinken be held in contempt of Congress following the diplomat's failure to appear for Tuesday's hearing. Secretary Blinken refused to comply with the committee's subpoena despite months of notice and offers and accommodations, warrants contempt, the resolution read. The Republican-led committee has long sought to host the Secretary of State as it investigates the botched U.S. withdrawal from Afghanistan over 3 years ago that left 13 U.S. service members dead. Let's see, this coming from the Pamela Geller, the Geller Report, the president of Iran being protected by the Secret Service this week at the U.N. while Iran plots to assassinate President Trump and hacks the campaign. Unbelievable. Yes, our Secret Service giving protection to the president of Iran as he comes to speak. Fox News telling us three men connected to Iran have now been indicted in relation to a hacking plot against former President Trump's campaign, the Department of Justice announced Friday. This would be three suspects named in the case. The indictment shows a trio are facing a long list of charges: conspiracy to obtain information from a protected computer, defraud and obtain a thing of value, to commit fraud involving authentication features, commit aggravated identity theft, commit access device fraud, and commit wire fraud while falsely registering domains. The three hackers who are accused of working for Iran's Islamic Revolutionary Guard Corps were allegedly engaged in a wide-ranging hacking campaign. And former President Trump, this is from the Daily Wire now, warned the Islamic Republic of Iran during the early morning hours Wednesday that it was playing with fire by continuing to target him following two assassination attempts. The remarks from Trump came after his campaign revealed that he had a meeting on Tuesday with the Office of the Director of National Intelligence regarding a real and specific threats from Iran to assassinate him. Big threats on my life by Iran, Trump posted on X. The entire U.S. military is watching and waiting. Moves are already made by Iran that didn't work, but they will try again. Not a good situation for everyone. I am surrounded by more men, guns, and weapons than I have ever been before. Thank you to Congress for unanimously approving money, far more money to Secret Service, and talked about it being a bipartisan vote. We'll be back in 1 minute. You're listening to Crosstalk on the VCY American Network.
Back to Genesis with Dr. John Morris, author and seminar speaker with the Institute for Creation Research. Dr. Morris, as a scientist, is it legitimate to use Scripture in your creation teaching?
Yes, indeed, Chris. In fact, I think it's illegitimate not to. There are times, of course, when a scientific answer is needed. In some of our creation evolution debates on university campuses, we try to limit the arguments to the scientific evidences only. But we never try to hide the fact that we're Bible-believing Christians and are coming at this from a biblical perspective. There is no intent to deceive. Often people who attend these debates have their eyes open to the truth of creation and then are more ready to accept a later witness from Scripture. But keep in mind that Scripture is alive and powerful and able to do mighty things. If we would truly win the argument, we must go back to Genesis without apology as our basis for creation.
For more on the importance of creation, visit our website at icr.org.
You're listening to Crosstalk on the VCY American Network and Friday News Roundup today here on the broadcast. We thank you for tuning in and being a part of it today. Some additional news here just on this matter of assassination. This from the Epoch Times. A court document submitted by federal prosecutors Monday showed that Ryan Routh, the suspect in the apparent second assassination attempt against former President Trump, allegedly penned a handwritten note that said it was an assassination attempt on the former president. The document filed before a federal judge denied bond during a Monday court hearing, agreeing with prosecutors that Routh is a flight risk and a risk to the community and should be held before the trial. The note was addressed to the world and reads that this was an assassination attempt on Donald Trump, but I failed you. I tried my best and gave it all the gumption I could muster. It went on, but law enforcement officials contacted on September 18, 3 days after he was arrested by a person who said that Routh dropped off the box at his location at someone's home, opened the box after learning of Routh's arrest, finding ammunition, phones, and various letters, according to the court documents. Okay, the son of Routh, Donald Trump's would-be assassin, was arrested Tuesday morning on federal child porn charges, ABC News reported. I'm looking at the Free Beacon right now, and investigators found hundreds of files of child porn during a search of Oren Routh's home in Greensboro, North Carolina. Prosecutors conducted the search in relation to charges against his father. WND.com said there's another alleged threat against the life of President Trump, who survived two attempts previous. A report in the Daily Mail explains that Warren Jones Crazy Bull of Sandpoint, Idaho, allegedly made at least 9 calls to Trump's Florida residence saying he was going to kill Trump. The calls came July 31, just weeks after Trump was shot and injured in the air. In the ear, that is. In one call, according to a criminal complaint, an affidavit first reported on Monday, Crazy Bull threatened to fine Trump and said he was coming down to Bedminster tomorrow. That's the town where Trump National Golf Club is located in New Jersey. The Daily Wire telling us that Commerce Secretary Gina Raimondo ignited social media Wednesday after she called to extinguish former President Donald Trump for good. Raimondo made the remarks during the MSNBC interview on Morning Joe. How did we get here? Let's extinguish him for good, she said. We have an answer. We have a remarkably talented candidate who is sincere, who's pragmatic, who's open. Let's just get it done. Poor choice of words. Friends, there's so much happening on this matter, but LifeNews.com reporting that next week, Saturday, October 5, President Donald Trump is going to be returning to Butler, Pennsylvania to hold a rally. This marks his first visit since the assassination attempt. He's going to be honoring the memory of Corey Comparator, who heroically sacrificed his life to shield his wife and daughters from the bullets, also recognizing two other Americans who were wounded by the shooter, David Dutch and James Copenhaver as well. He did express his deep gratitude to law enforcement and first responders and to the entire community. Also, coming from USA Today, the Biden administration yesterday offered a $20 million reward for a member of Iran's elite Islamic Revolutionary Guard Corps charged in a murder-for-hire plot targeting former National Security Advisor John Bolton. The bounty for Shahram Poursafi comes 2 days after former President Trump said he'd been briefed by the U.S. intelligence officials, real and specific Iranian threats to his life. Troubling news, friends, coming to us just released today from FoxNews.com. Tens of thousands of illegal immigrants with sex offenses and homicide convictions are loose on the streets, according to the Immigration and Customs Enforcement data provided to lawmakers this week. The agency provided data to Representative Tony Gonzalez of Texas about the national data for illegal immigrants with criminal charges or convictions. The data, as of July of 2024, is broken down by those in detention and those who are not in detention, known as the non-detained docket. The non-detained docket includes illegal immigrants who have final orders of removal or are going through removal proceedings but are not detained in ICE custody. There are currently more than 7 million people on that docket. The data says that among those not in detention, There are 425,431 convicted criminals, 222,141 with pending criminal charges. Those include 62,231 convicted of assault, 14,301 convicted of burglary, 56,533 with drug convictions, and 13,099 convicted of homicide. An additional 2,521 have kidnapping convictions, and 15,811 have sexual assault convictions. There are an additional 1,845 with pending homicide charges, 42,915 with assault charges, 3,266 with burglary charges, and 4,250 with assault charges. As of July 21st of 2024, there were 662,566 non-citizens with criminal histories on ICE's national docket, 13,099 criminally convicted murderers. Gonzalez said in a statement, Americans deserve to be safe in our own communities. And now we have Kamala Harris visiting the border state of Arizona, touting how she is going to close the border and how she's going to be making things safe for our country. And she's going to be tough on the border. Friends, she is the border czar. She was entrusted by President Joe Biden in this regard. And now there is also newly uncovered video. It's a 2018 video obtained exclusively by the UK's Daily Mail showing Harris, who was then a U.S. senator from California, chanting, up, up with education, down, down with deportation at a civil rights rally in Los Angeles. It's amazing, friends, because this is a person who says, we are going to secure the borders. Here is that unearthed video that came. Friends, it goes on for quite some time, but she is right in the middle of the video with the chant and swirling around as they are yelling, up, up with education, down, down with deportation. The Daily Caller is reporting that a Texas woman and others admitted to prosecutors today, or actually, I believe this was last Friday, on operating a migrant child smuggling operation, which included at times using gummies to make children sleep when passing border checkpoints. Vanessa Valadez, a 23-year-old Texas woman, pleaded guilty to smuggling migrant children across the U.S.-Mexico border, according to a press release by Homeland Security Investigations. From August to September of 2023, Valadez and others, members of the operation, brought young minors all under the age of five from Mexico into the U.S. illegally. The smuggling ring had attempted to transport at least four girls into the U.S. as well, three of whom remain unidentified. The investigation by law enforcement officials uncovered that one of the members of the smuggling operation texted an image of a sleeping child with the caption translated into English, "We knocked her out with some gummies." From Newsmax.com, Vice President Harris plans to visit that border that was now taking place in Arizona, are ill-advised. And the Republican National Committee Chairman, Michael Whately, said her administration took 94 executive actions to dismantle the most secure southern border that we ever had and has allowed 10 to 15 million illegal immigrants to come into the United States, bringing fentanyl, bringing migrant crime. These are people we don't know who they are or where they are or what they're doing, but we do know that the Biden-Harris administration's own FBI has said it is a clear and present danger to America. President Trump said after almost 4 years, border czar Kamala Harris has decided for political reasons that it's time to go to our broken southern border. He called it a disgrace that she waited so long. Coming to us from PJ Media, a recent CNN study has shed light on a troubling trend. Left-leaning parents are instilling a deep-seated animosity toward Republicans in their children. The segments highlighted the findings, which revealed stark polarization among kids based on their parents' political beliefs. Democrat-leaning kids were about 9 times more likely to express negative emotions about Donald Trump than Republican-leaning kids were about Kamala Harris. One boy researchers interviewed for the study asserted Donald Trump, he did bad things, he's like Hitler, is illustrating just how extreme the rhetoric has become. Another child expressed her belief that Trump only wanted to be president to control everyone. Well, yet another remarked on the January 6th events was a mix of confusion and disdain, calling it a day with a bunch of Republicans believing Trump. Psychologist Ashley Landrum, who analyzed the responses, suggested that the intensities of these sentiments is a reaction to how their parents perceive Trump. Daily Caller is telling us Lindsey Graham of South Carolina traveling to Nebraska last week to persuade state officials to adopt a winner-take-all system before the November election. From Econo Times, a surprising turn of events, internal polling from the influential Teamsters Union shows former President Trump leading Vice President Kamala Harris among union members in all 50 states. The Daily Caller reporting that the North Carolina State Board of Elections reportedly has removed 747,000 names from the battleground state's voter rolls within the past 20 months. Most people removed from the North Carolina voter rolls were deemed ineligible to vote after moving from one county in the state to another while failing to register their new address. According to The Hill, others taken off voter rolls did not participate in either the 2016 or the 2020 federal election. Okay, there's some other issues that are going on. Former President Trump has received the most surprising endorsement of this election cycle. Over last weekend, he received the endorsement from the Arab American Democrat mayor, Amir Ghalib. That is out of southwest Michigan. Meanwhile, Engage Action, that's a prominent Muslim American advocacy organization, has endorsed Kamala Harris for president, offering qualified support for the vice president's despite broad frustration about Muslim Americans with the Biden administration's response to the Israel-Hamas war. Also, Kamala Harris has received the endorsement of the union that represents the nation's IRS agents. They announced Wednesday it's endorsing Harris. Vice President Harris, they say, played a role in one of the most pro-labor administrations in history. Harris cast the deciding vote to break a Senate deadlock, boosting the IRS budget by some $80 billion, enabling the agency to hire an additional 87,000 employees while increasing the union's membership in the process. They are backing Kamala Harris. And Senator Joe Manchin said he cannot back Vice President Harris for president after she said that she supports ending the Senate filibuster to pass abortion protections in Congress. He said, I think that basically can destroy our country, and my country is more important to me than any one person or any one person's ideology. He said, I think it's the most horrible thing. We're going to take a quick break here on Crosstalk. We'll come back for another segment of stories here today. Lord willing, we'll have an opportunity for you to weigh in on matters as well. Back in 1 minute here on Crosstalk, coming your way from the VCY American Network.
Just as the moon obscures the sun's light during an eclipse, today's radical secularism has obscured the light of God. But God's light still shines. This month, the VCY Bookstore and Outreach Center has Erwin Lutzer's brand new book called The Eclipse of God at 51% off. In The Eclipse of God, Dr. Lutzer exposes our nation's disastrous efforts to redefine God in its own image. The resulting damage has been so great that confusion about God has even crept into the church. This bold exposition will help you understand society's attempts to make God inclusive and sin-friendly in contrast with the biblical truth about his unchanging character. Get Lutzer's new book, The Eclipse of God, at 51% off only during September and only at the VCY Bookstore and Outreach Center. Order online at vcy.com or call 888-722-4829.
You're listening to Crosstalk on BCY America, and just making a note here today, I may have misspoken earlier about the death toll. Some media sources reporting up to 30 killed so far in this the Hurricane Helene, and we continue to monitor what's going on. There are some very devastating pictures coming from the southeast part of the United States, and be praying. We know we even have some Crosstalk affiliates in that area. Be praying that for them as well, their loved ones and families as well. Also, just a note here as it relates to earlier guest we had this week and talking about William Jennings Bryan. We understand that the guest indicated that he was born in the state of Nebraska. We understand that is to be corrected to the state of Illinois. But just wanted to pass that on, as that was very important here to that matter at that time. Okay, let's move on to some other issues here today. And this is shocking. This from LifeSiteNews.com. A member of the Federal Communications Commission raised concerns over the agency's expedited approval of a deal in which far-left activist financier George Soros will acquire more than 200 stations spanning 40 markets at once. Soros purchased $400 million of the debt of Odyssey, that's the second-largest radio station owner behind iHeartMedia in the nation. Soros invested in the company after it filed for bankruptcy the month before with nearly $2 billion in debt. Friends, their Odyssey stations, they carry a number of conservative pundits and mainstays. My question to you is, do you think they're going to allow them to continue? Last week, FCC Commissioner Brendan Carr testified before the House Oversight Committee that the FCC is not following its normal process for reviewing transactions that it had established over a number of years, saying it seems to me the FCC is poised for the first time to create an entirely new shortcut. Folks, again, we're talking about George Soros in all of this. This is what FCC Commissioner Carr said before the Congress.
You've indicated there's a transaction where a Soros-backed group would take ownership of over 200 radio stations across 40 different markets after the FCC originally indicating that that transaction could be reviewed and approved at the Bureau level without a commission vote. It's now become clear that that is a decision before the full commission, and it's one that I would assume now or in the near future the commission would approve. I think what's interesting about it is that the FCC here is not following its normal process for reviewing a transaction. We have established over a number of years one way in which you can get approval from the FCC when you have in excess of 25% foreign ownership, which this transaction does. And it seems to me that the FCC is poised to create, for the first time, an entirely new shortcut.
Yeah, thank you. As you pointed out here and previously, these proceedings for transfer of ownership have been expedited. What exactly makes this case so deserving of an expedited proceeding so far, from what you could tell?
There is nothing about this transaction that is out of the ordinary. It's the type of thing that we see all the time, and the FCC has a process for this. The full commission itself has never signed off on a shortcut like this. What we usually do is we require people to file a petition with us. We bring in national security agencies. They can review the foreign ownership. It's probably no big deal here, but we review that foreign ownership, and then we vote. Here, they're trying to do something that's never been done before at the commission level.
Here, they're trying to do something never done before, trying to fast-track these stations with the connection here to George Soros. By the way, this from SRN News, the U.S. Congress passed a stopgap bill on Wednesday to avert a partial government shutdown beginning next week, even as a large number of House Republicans revolted against their leadership for failing to achieve new federal spending cuts. The Democratic majority Senate passed the bill by a margin of 78-18. It will maintain the government's current level of roughly $1.2 trillion in annual discretionary funding through December 20th. Passed the House 341-82 with all no votes cast by Republicans. The bill then went to President Biden to sign into law before current funding expires at midnight this coming Monday. The Children's Health Defense .org is reporting that the pharmaceutical giant Gilead recalled one batch of its COVID-19 antiviral drug, the brand name for remdesivir. It's, I believe, it's Veklury. after glass particles were discovered in vials of the drug, Newsweek reported. Gilead distributed the batch identified as Veklury at slot number 47035 CFA across the United States beginning on July 16th, not set to expire until November 2025. But if a product containing glass is injected, it may result in localized swelling, or the glass particulate can potentially travel through the blood vessels to various organs and block blood vessels in the heart, lungs, or brain, which can cause stroke and even lead to death, the company warned in the recall notice. From LifeNews.com, over 50,000 Americans took their own lives last year, and that we're talking about euthanasia. Just 1 year prior, at least 1.6 million Americans attempted suicide, 3.8 million planned to, and 13.2 million seriously considered it. It remains undoubtedly sickening that there are people who choose the suicide business, making a profit of encouraging vulnerable people to end their lives. Exit International, founded by Philip Nitschke, is a leading organization in the field of assisted suicide. In June, the Suicide Pod, otherwise known as SARCO, gearing up to have its first victim, presented it as a beautiful way of dying. Only required 10 minutes, $20, and a push of a button from the inside to then replace the oxygen within the pod with nitrogen, leading to death by hypoxia. Nitschke and the other organizations claimed they saw no legal obstacle to its use. However, they were wrong. After just one use, in which a 64-year-old U.S. woman became the first person to use a suicide pod to end her life, multiple arrests were made, apparently despite the SARCO squad thinking there was no legal obstacles hindering them. Swiss officials expressed the fact that the pod had yet to be approved for use. Also, from LifeNews.com, two petitioners who do not believe they would receive prompt NHS treatment are looking to become the first couple to make use of the controversial double suicide pod to end their lives. This is Christine Scott, who is suffering from a vascular dementia. Her husband, Peter, signed up with a Swiss-based The Last Resort. It's an assisted suicide group that enables people to use a SARCO machine. And again, this husband and wife signing up to be the first couple to be killing themselves using this suicide pod. Yesterday, a judge, I'm looking at the Epoch Times right now, a judge unsealed a federal indictment against New York Mayor Eric Adams, accusing him of taking bribes and illegal campaign contributions from foreign sources. His residence was searched earlier in the day. Facing five criminal charges, including conspiracy to commit wire fraud, Adams is accused of accepting benefits from foreign business people and a Turkish government official who officials said were trying to influence him. The mayor, who became the first New York City mayor to be criminally charged while in office, issued a video statement Wednesday denying the prosecutors' claims, calling them entirely false and based on lies. Let me air for you what he had to say in a statement.
My fellow New Yorkers, it is now my belief that the federal government intends to charge me with crimes. If so, these charges will be entirely false, based on lies. But they would not be surprising. I always knew that if I stood my ground for all of you, that I would be a target. And a target I became. For months, leaks and rumors have been aimed at me in an attempt to undermine my credibility and paint me as guilty. Just this past week, they searched the home of our new police commissioner looking for documents from 20 years ago, just 1 week after he joined my administration. Enough. I will fight these injustices with every ounce of my strength and my spirit. If I'm charged, I know I am innocent. I will request an immediate trial so the New Yorkers can hear the truth. New Yorkers know my story. They know where I come from. I have been fighting injustice my entire life. That fight has continued as your mayor. Despite our pleas, when the federal government did nothing as its broken immigration policies overloaded our shelter system with no relief, I put the people of New York before party and politics.
That coming.
Now,
from the mayor.
If I am charged, many may say I should resign because I cannot manage the city while fighting the case. I can also understand how everyday New Yorkers would be concerned that I cannot do my job while I face accusation. But I have been facing these lies for months since I began to speak out for all of you and their investigation started. Yet the city has continued to improve. Make no mistake, you elected me to lead this city, and lead it I will. I humbly ask for your prayers and your patience as we see this through. God bless you, and God bless the city of New York.
Okay, again, that's New York Mayor Eric Adams, and saying those words. He did surrender to authorities today on corruption charges, likely to appear before U.S. Magistrate Judge Catherine Parker in Manhattan. His administration has suffered numerous investigations, the mayor turning himself in today. National Review reporting a federal judge has issued a preliminary injunction blocking the New York Attorney General, Letitia James, from silencing the constitutionality-protected speech of two pro-life organizations that are working to share information about the safety and efficacy of abortion pill reversal. The Thomas Morris Society filed a federal lawsuit against James on behalf of the two pro-life ministries, Summit Life Outreach Center and the Evergreen Association. Also, a pro-life organization from AFRnet.net, a pro-life organization, has traced the Mexico-based feminist group that is helping U.S. women obtain the dangerous two-step abortion. American Life League, that has tracked abortions in the U.S. for years, is now monitoring chemical abortions. All discovered a Mexico-based abortion group shipping the abortion pill to women into the United States. This is troubling. From the Washington Stand, the United Nations has adopted a global agreement to turn the Internet into a safe space free of posts that it considers hate speech and discrimination, misinformation and disinformation. The accord asks social media companies to turn over users' messages that contain misinformation so that researchers can draw up government policies on how to address disfavored views on the information superhighway. Ultimately, the pact will advance international governance of the Internet and the development of artificial intelligence. This is all part of the matters going on with the Pact for the Future. Lord willing, Tuesday, Alex Newman will be joining us, talking with us more on these issues. And speaking of the UN, with the backing of the U.S. Department of Justice, they have filed an official document in a U.S. court arguing that UNRWA employees implicated in the October 7th massacres should be immune from prosecution, reports WND.com. And for Michigan, children in Michigan, this is Daily Wire, will soon be able to anonymously report their parents or other adults for improperly storing firearms that are accessible to a minor. A new tip line, part of an amendment to House Bill 5503 that passed the Michigan legislature Wednesday. A new gun storage law went into effect in Michigan earlier this year. And we understand that it's going to create an anonymous tip line for children to report improperly stored guns. Friends, let's take a break, and let's also open our phone lines if you want to comment on these or other current events. Our number is 800-733-9829, 800-733-9829.
For the Worldview Report, I'm Brandon House. Our website is worldviewtube.com. I've been teaching through the Book of Revelation on Sunday nights. You can watch it at worldviewtube.com. We're now in Revelation chapter 6. We now have the four horsemen of the apocalypse. The Lord God himself is opening the seals. And the first one is a white horse. It's the Antichrist, and he's bringing false peace. Oh, wow. Isn't that what the world's looking for now? An end to all the wars and rumors of wars and all this happening, but he'll do it with a false peace. And then the second seal is a red horse, and he brings war. The Antichrist has to go to war to take out certain leaders to bring the new world order. Isn't that interesting? And then the third seal, a black horse, famine, just as globalist leaders are trying to starve us now by destroying farming and dairy. And then the fourth seal, a pale horse of death and hell and pandemics, as we have bioweapon labs all over the world. Man, sinful man, is setting up for the four horsemen of the apocalypse.
been a Friday News Roundup and still is, and now giving you opportunity to weigh in on the issues. If you want to comment on these or another current event story, I'm looking at my stacks of stories and issues we never did get to, so we know there's so much more out there than what we were able to share, but nonetheless covered a number of issues today on the broadcast. Our number, 800-733-9829. We've got Brad calling from West Dallas. Hi, Brad, you're on the air.
Hey, Brother Jim. I just want to start off with the anti-Semites and their anti-Semitic filth. It's putting the U.S. in position for divine punishment. Thanks for nothing, morons. I pray to Jesus that the resulting curse, which will come, will be more of a surgical strike like the one he did at Mount Sinai, where the earth swallowed up only the unbelievers and not the whole nation of Israel. Also, I pray that he would frustrate the communist Democrats by continuing to protect President Trump and cause those surface-to-air missiles, shoulder fire that I heard about today, to explode immediately when fired. And he's been doing a good job of, well, God does a good job at everything, but, you know, protecting the former president. And we don't put our trust in man, but that's pretty much what I had to say today.
Okay. Thank you, Brad, for your comments.
Thank you.
Anthony is calling from New Jersey. Anthony, you're on the air.
Hi, yes. Thank you for having me. I just wanted to say, like, it's important that we remember that this battle is not against flesh and blood.
That's right.
But it is against spirits. And so it's important to not be angry at people or hate them because we were once lost like they are. And so while we can take stands and be firm in our beliefs and fight for what's right and what's true, we also must remember that God called us to be gentle and to have mercy as well.
Okay, thank you for the comments. Indeed, the battle is not against flesh and blood. No, it's a spiritual battle, friends, that's going on in this world. And as Scripture reminds us that, as Jesus said, in this world ye shall have tribulation. But he said, be of good cheer. I have overcome the world. The victory is already there. We need to be faithful stewards of our lives, and we need to be faithful in our witness. We need to be salt. We need to be light in this world that is around us. Troubling news coming out from Mayo Clinic. This is from WND.com. The Mayo Clinic has a posting on its blog claiming that pregnancy is often viewed as an exclusively female phenomenon. Twitchy monitors social media postings and reports on them and noted woke ideology is infiltrating healthcare and it's going to do untold damage to patients, including getting people killed. Isn't that something? The blog claiming that pregnancy is often viewed as exclusively female phenomena? Let's go next to Los Alamos, New Mexico. And Greg, you're on the air.
Hi. Yeah, I just want to say something and hopefully get some comment from you on it. For the previous caller and everybody who believes God is protecting Donald Trump, well, I guess God must have really loved Hitler because he protected Hitler 48 times from assassination, 23 of which happened before the invasion of Poland.
Well, I will say this here, Greg, that God does rule over the affairs of men. And I don't know the mind of the Lord, but I do know that his ways, his thoughts are much higher than ours. And he is the one who sets up. He's the one who takes down. He's the one that will use enemy nations to even come and bring judgment, even against his own children brought against Israel. Enemy nations to come to mete out his judgment upon them. So I don't have an answer. I don't know why this happens or why that happens, but I do know that God is sovereign and certainly in control. And you're welcome to share your thoughts, and thank you so much. Sam in Chippewa Falls, Wisconsin, you're on the air.
Yes, commenting on Mr. Soros buying all the radio stations or attempting to buy. I'm oldest to remember Radio Free Europe. It seems they want to control all of the information we have and can receive.
Yeah. It's interesting that many of these stations are ones that will have conservative talk show hosts on them. Yeah, you know, the people like Sean Hannity and others. And, I had to ask the question, will these people be allowed their formats to continue on these stations? Thank you for the call. We've got Eddie in Glasgow, Kentucky. You're on the air, Eddie.
Yes, Jim. Thank you for taking my call. I heard you in the very first part of your program today talking about everything centered around global warming and climate change.
Yeah, that's the big push.
And they took billions of dollars out of the fund for climate change and absorbed it into the Democratic campaign funds. Is global warming not as important as they're making it sound, or electing Kamala Harris that important? I mean, they talk about and the world will change, Green New Deal, all that, and they took billions and billions of dollars out of there and put it into the Democratic campaign. Does that make anybody out there?
Thank you for the call here. There certainly is quite a fundraising machine on the scare tactic, and the thing is that these individuals really don't believe in, you know, the man-made global climate change. If they really did believe it, they would not be taking these private jets from all over the world into these UN conferences and talking about how the carbon emissions are destroying our atmosphere and everything else. No, there's something called like Zoom or Skype, and where they can use calls like this rather than jettisoning in everybody from around the world. Also, those that have very elaborate properties, mansions, certainly are such that, these large properties and their use of electricity is amazing compared to many, many households compared to one of these mansions and the private vehicles of individuals. And then even further than that, we have those that are buying, you know, the oceanfront properties. And I think of the Martha's Vineyard, and wanting property there, even as we are warned about how, you know, islands are going to be consumed across the nation. So thank you for the call. Doesn't make sense to much that is happening here today, but they really do not believe those words that they are saying. That closing theme music tells us that our program is done here today, and sorry to those who are not able to get in on the program. For those sitting on hold yet, we'll try you again another time. But friends, troubling times in which we live, but as Jesus again said, be of good cheer, I've overcome the world. And our hope, our trust, our confidence is in the Lord Jesus Christ. We thank you for listening today and all this week. Today's Friday, the Lord's Day is coming. And I trust you'll be in a Bible-believing, Bible-teaching local church. Thanks for listening.
You've been listening to Crosstalk via satellite and the Internet from VCY America. Views expressed may or may not be those of this station. For a CD of today's program, send a donation of $6 or more to VCY Tape Ministry, 3434 West Kilbourne Avenue, Milwaukee, Wisconsin, 53208. Or download by RSS or podcast from crosstalkamerica.com. And join us again for Crosstalk.